Well, we're in 1 Timothy. Been doing a study here for a good while. 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's just begin reading with verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, of course, Timothy is a young man that Paul the Apostle had come across and had led to the Lord. He knew Timothy's mom, his family. He led Timothy to the Lord. Timothy had the gift of God on his life and was called into the ministry and was used by God to minister to many of the places where Paul established churches. Paul loved him dearly and was giving him some instructions, as the Word of God gives all of us instructions. How many of you know the Bible is here to be our instructor, or to teach us something so we can learn something from it? And so he says, when I went to Macedonia, I urged you to remind the Ephesians that they teach no other doctrine. There's many, as you've heard me say, we've taught on this in times past, there's many religious doctrines out here, as there was then. But there's really only one religious doctrine that God has for us to teach, and that's the gift of His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that we might be saved. All the other doctrines. So he says, I want you to tell them that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4, I want you also to tell them that they're not supposed to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which is, those are things that are other than the truth. Genealogies may not be, but genealogies, if it has with regards to a person's salvation or to a religion or whatever, that can be deceiving. And whenever they teach fables and genealogies other than the Word of God and the Scriptures, that causes disputes. Some of the most religious, some of the greatest wars in the world have been fought over religion, including Christianity, because of disputes. And the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, was never given so that it would cause disputes. But if it's taught according to the power of the Holy Spirit and to the unction of the Holy Spirit and according to the Word of God, it is for godly edification, which is in faith. So he's saying here that what we hear after we become Christians, what we hear from the Word of God in the Scriptures, and that's the reason why we get into the Word of God. Amen. Faith, without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God, and you can't please God without faith. So whatever you try to do, if you're not doing it in faith, and that faith means to believe and to put your trust, we put our faith and our trust in God. That means we depend on Him for our salvation and His precious Son, whom He gave for us, so that we can be saved. Without that, there is no salvation. Amen? Can't be saved. So, in order to be saved, we're saved by faith. And the faith means to trust, to rely on, to depend on. Where do we get faith? Faith, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So, you can't have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The Bible also says, so this Bible, this book, if you want to have faith, you have to get into this book, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, this is simple stuff, and we all know this, but we need to be reminded from time to time, because as the Bible says, as newborn babes, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, we're newborn babes. it says to desire the sincere milk of the word so that we can grow thereby. There is a process in our lives that we grow up as Christians. And without faith, we can't grow up, which means we have to get into the Word and desire the Word as a sincere milk of the Word of God so that we can grow thereby. If you're out of the Word of God, then you're not growing. You listening to me? If you're out of the Word of God, you're not growing. There's only one way you can grow spiritually, and that's to hear the Word of God. And you don't just, how many of you eat just one meal a week and survive? How many of you eat two or three meals a week? I mean, yeah. How about two or three meals a day? Because you're hungry. So when we're born again by the Spirit of God, God gives us a spiritual hunger. And our hunger is for His Word. I never did whenever I was a young man growing up and my dad was, well, anyway, he was glad to get rid of me whenever I brought the papers to sign for me to go in the military because I was too young. I saw a great big smile on his face as he signed the papers. He said, let the military bring you up. Let the military grow you up. I'm tired of messing with you, you know. It didn't mean he didn't love me. He just figured they could do a much better job than he could because I wouldn't listen to him. When you get in the military, you have to listen or they'll throw you in jail, right? So there's some things that we have to do after we become Christians, and that is we have to grow. Now, in the physical realm, if you breathe and you exercise, or if we breathe and we exercise and we eat, we grow. And basically, you'll grow anyway if you don't do any of those things, but you won't grow very long, very much, and you won't live very long, right? If you don't eat, don't exercise, all of that, you won't grow. So the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, and that's something that we can't do, how many of you birthed yourself into this world? You can't birth yourself into the kingdom of God either, into God's family. That's something that God has to do. And when we come to call on Him and ask Him to do that, God save me. I can't save myself, and I need to be saved. And I realize that if I'm not saved, I'm going to end up in hell because I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Right? When God saves me, then I am born again, I become a new creation. The first thing that happened to me, I think happens to everybody, maybe not so much as to some of us, but I think everybody, he gives a desire for the book, to get into the Word. Because without the Word, we can't have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the Word of God. And without the Word, we can't grow in the grace and we can't grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says, you therefore, beloved, he's talking to Christian people, since you know this beforehand, you're supposed to know this, right? Beware. Everybody say beware. I want you to, that's a warning for Christians. Beware. Watch out. Look out. James chapter 4, he says that be in different places, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's talking to Christian people there. And he's telling us here to be careful. Make sure you get into the Word of God. Make sure you're growing in the faith and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You need to do that because if you don't grow, a baby can't do anything. If a grown, if an adult wants to take a baby they can do just about anything they want to do with them. Throw them up against the wall, drown them in the bathtub, throw them in the boat, ocean, whatever. Because a baby can't defend itself. And we have so many baby Christians in the world today, and some of them have been baby Christians for 20 and 30 years, that because they haven't gotten into the Word of God, and because they're not in the Word of God, and because there has been no spiritual growth or development, they don't really understand what's going on in their lives. And God wants us to understand what's going on in our lives so we can depend on Him and trust Him, and He comes to our aid and helps us. He helps us anyway sometimes in spite of ourselves. But He's also given the church a responsibility to help take care of God, His children too. Amen? And to feed, He told Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Well, feed my sheep." So that's what I try to do. I try to not only get people into the kingdom of God, but I try to feed them so they can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." So he's saying that if we don't grow, if we don't take this serious about growing, and see, there is some spiritual growth naturally, but if you've seen people that were not born mentally correct and whatever, and nobody feeds them, you know what happens to them naturally? They don't grow. I remember that I've seen, I saw a child years ago, and I not were mentioning the town, but was what the Bible calls a waterhead baby. Any of you ever seen a waterhead baby? The head sometimes is bigger than the body. And there's no growth, there's no development. And so there is a cure for that. God can work on that. And He will if they will let Him, and they'll bring Him to Him, those children to Him. So if we don't pay attention, if we're not aware, the growth in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has to do with what we do. We have to do. We have to do something about that. Growth is a part of our. We can't grow without food. We can't grow without grace. We can't grow without knowledge. So when he's talking about here in 1 Timothy, the godly edification, which is in faith, and verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment, because a lot of people think that keeping the commandments is what gets them saved and keeps them saved, and it's the commandment is to, the purpose of the commandment is love out of a pure heart. It's a God kind of love out of a pure heart, from a good conscience and from sincere faith. And he says from verse 6, "Some having strayed have turned aside to idle talk, and even many of them," verse 7, "desiring to be teachers of the law, or the commandments, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm." Verse 8, "But we know that the law is good if one use it lawfully." Verse 9, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." Now this is where we were last Sunday, right? "The law is not made for a righteous man." Isn't that strange? Amen? The keeping of the law, if you're a righteous person, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, the keeping of the law doesn't make you any better. Does that mean that we're without a law? Heavens no. That means the Spirit of God in us is the teacher. And God writes His Scriptures in our hearts and in our minds, so that it's not just the keeping of the law. We fulfill the law, actually. Amen? when we walk in the Spirit, we fulfill the law. The law also is not for us, because when we're, like you've heard me say before, if we're in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, it has a whole lot to do. The Holy Spirit will convict us of when the least little things that we do that are wrong, and encourage us of the least little things that we do that are good. Amen. The reason we don't need the law is because we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And it covers every area and aspect of our lives. Amen? So far as I know, the Ten Commandments don't say anything so much about what you think. You listening? But as Christians, we're to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so, even the thoughts that we have in our minds, and I've said this many, many times, because that's where the battleground is. That's where the battleground is. And I want to tell you again, as I've said over and over again, if we have thoughts coming into our mind, and let me say this, because thoughts that come into our mind can come from the enemy, the evil one, Satan, the god of this world. If we have thoughts coming into our mind that we don't want to be there, then guess who's putting them there? So that has to do with fear, doubt, worry, frustration. You with me? Hate, anger, bitterness, deceitfulness, lying. That's what that has to do with. And if we get in the flesh, then that's what's controlling us, the spirit of the god of this, Satan, the god of the Bible calls who is the god of this world. And so we have to put down those things and pull those things down as the Word of God tells us to here. So the law is not made for a righteous man, verse 9, but what is the law made for? Lawlessness and insubordination. For the ungodly, those that don't want to live godly, for sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. That's what the law was made for. So what is the purpose of the law then? The purpose of the law is to show us, to reveal to us, all of us, because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the purpose of the law is to reveal that to us, what we've done wrong and what we are doing is wrong, so that we can repent. That means turn away from our sins, turn away from our unrighteousness, ungodliness, and turn to God, and then He gives us the power and the wherewithal by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that if we're, as He says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that God can work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and so we can have the joy of the Lord. So he tells us in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is something that we have to do. We have to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. We have to put on the new man. And we can do that because the next verse says in Philippians, I think it's chapter 3, work out your own salvation, for it's God that worketh in you Is God working in you? God's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, but we have to learn how to cooperate with Him so He can work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we know the Word of God. That's why we desire the sincere milk of the Word so we can grow thereby. And we can also grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Excuse me. When I came to the Lord as a teenager, the only thing that I knew was that I had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I knew that because the Holy Spirit convicted me of that because I came under the preaching of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Holy Spirit draws him. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So every man, every being in this whole world, God's going to see to it because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And like I heard a preacher say one time, whether you like it or not, God loves you and Jesus died for you. Amen? So, that's where we are in this. There's something we have to grow. And as we grow and as we experience, when I came to the Lord, I didn't know anything much about Him. But after I came to the Lord, I knew that I needed to be saved. When He saved me, I experienced His grace. I realized that something happened to me. I realized I was saved. Amen? I realized that my sins had been forgiven and that I was accepted. I didn't understand about all this other theological stuff because I was just a kid. But I knew that I had to come to Him in order to be saved because the Spirit drew me to Him. And when I came to Him, He saved me. And so right then and there, all of us who were born again by the Spirit of God experienced God's grace. That's God's love. That's His forgiveness. Amen? Now, is that all we'll ever know about it? No, because He says, grow in the grace. Grow in grace. So, after spending 60-some-odd years walking with the Lord, talking to the Lord, getting to know the Lord, preaching His Word, helping other people, cooperating with His Holy Spirit, the grace of God has filled me. I have grown in His grace. I understand a whole lot more about the love of God right now and His grace than I ever did when I was first born again by the Spirit of God. There, and so do you, all of us, because we have grown in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what the teaching of the Word is, and that's why Paul was writing to Timothy, don't get confused with the commandments and don't allow other teachers to come in and try to teach you something else, because there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ, and He died for your sins, and He loves you, and God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, and that's how you're saved. Now walk in it and grow in it. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and we grow as we receive the faith and as we receive the sincere milk of the Word, then we grow in grace. That is, we become to more to understand about the love of God and the love that He has for us. Not only that, but we love Him more, because we find out from Romans chapter 5, I think it's for the love of God, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He's given unto us. So as we grow in that grace and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He helps us to grow, by taking in the Word and the milk of the Word and by so and all of these things that we're talking about here, as we grow, not only do we love Him more, but He loves through us more so that we can love even our enemies. I couldn't love my enemies, and I can't today love my enemies apart from the grace of God. There's no way. If somebody does me wrong, I don't want to love them to death. I want to stab them to death or shoot them. Right? That's naturally the way we feel. But as Christians, with the love of God being shed in our hearts, and as we grow in that love, and as God fills us with His love, we can love our enemies because God is loving our enemies through us. And I've shared different stories with you over the years. I'm not going to go back into it, but God told me one time, I want you to go see this man and talk to him. This man had, I had to go borrow some money from three different places because we were broke and didn't have any money, but I was going to get into a Christian book business so that, and that was going to help me pay back my $5,000 that I borrowed. If I didn't get that and that didn't happen, I couldn't pay back that five. I was in a bind, terribly financial bind. And the man took all of my money. And I was laying in bed one morning at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was thinking I was going to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma and find that man. I was going to kill his dog, his cat, burn his house. And if I could find him, I'd kill him too. Does that sound like a Christian love? I don't think so. Wow. Does that sound like a preacher? I was a preacher. Are you with me? And so I was laying there thinking about what all I was going to do to this guy when I got my hands on him. About 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord said, I want you to get up out of this bed. I want you to get on your knees and I want you to say, Father, I forgive that man in Jesus' name. Wow. Did I want to do that? No. What did I do? Here's what I did. Here's what I said. I said, Lord, I'm going to get up and get out of this bed. I'm going to get on my knees. And I'm going to say those words because you told me to, but I want you to know right now it's not coming from my heart. I might as well be honest. I'm going to do what he tells me to do, but I'm going to tell him the truth to you. I'm not going to be lying about it. So he said, you just get out of the bed and do what I tell you to do. So I said, okay. But when I said that man's name, Lord, I forgive this, and I mentioned his name, immediately the love of God filled me. And it dawned on me that I wasn't the only one. I found out later on there were a lot of people he stole money from, thousands and thousands of dollars. And I realized that I needed to forgive him. Not only did I need to pray for him. Because before that, I wanted him. I didn't care if he went to hell or not. It didn't make me. I'd be glad he went to hell. But when God filled me with his love, God's love, I didn't want him to go to hell. I wanted him to be saved. Because he was being controlled and manipulated by the god of this world, Satan, and he was blind and he couldn't see, the Bible says. Blind and couldn't see and didn't even know what he was doing. Eventually, I did go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, but it wasn't go up there to kill him. I went up there to his office to see him and tell him I forgive him. Wow. Only God can give you that kind of love. But when I got there, his secretary was there. His office was still there. He was in a office building, and his office was still there. I went in there, and she said, "No, Mr. Cowan, he's not here." I said, "Well, where is he?" She said, "He's in prison. He's in prison. Because you're not the only one, Mr. Cowan, and he stole money from. He stole money from hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he's in prison. He'll be there for a long time." I wasn't rejoicing over that. I just hope maybe while he was in prison, maybe he could find the Lord and get saved and be forgiven. Because he wasn't any different than I was in the sense that we're both sinned and come short of the glory of God. I didn't steal thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars from people, but I did take God's name in vain. I did do things that weren't right. I did sin. Are you with me? And when the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means we've all sinned. And it doesn't matter. And when sin is sin, it doesn't matter if it's a big sin or a little sin. God doesn't measure sin. It's just sin. And if you sin, he says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Doesn't say if it's taking names of God in vain, or if it's killing, the sin you commit is taking God's name in vain, or the sin that you commit is killing somebody, or robbing somebody of hundreds of people from thousands of dollars. It just says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus came to save all of us from that death. And that's not just physical death. That's the second, Bible calls the second death, which is eternal separation from God for all eternity. A lot of people think, well, when this body is dead, then that's it, and I'm gone, and that's all. Oh, no, that's just the beginning. Because God says, you've been put here. You have been put here. We have been put here. I have been put here for the explicit purpose that I can make a decision for God or against God. And the decision is put to us in such a way that we need to understand this, that for us to not make a positive decision for Christ and for God, and we just don't do anything about it, then we've already made a decision. We've made a decision not to do anything. Are you with me? So to make a decision is a positive act on our part so that we can decide that we will receive the grace of God. And then when we do that, then we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And John tells us in 1 John and several places, if you don't have love, you're not saved. You with me? Hereby we know we pass from death unto life, the Bible says, because we love the brethren. That's how we know. So not only do we grow in the love of God, but we also, according to 2 Peter 3:18, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I was saved, I believed that there was a God, and I believed that there was a Jesus Christ. It was His Son. After I was saved, that didn't change that. I still believed in God, and I still believed in Jesus Christ. But now I knew I had become a recipient of His grace. I knew that I had been born again by the Spirit of God. But I didn't know a whole lot about God, and I didn't know a whole lot about Jesus either. I had to grow in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which means I had to get acquainted with Him. I had to talk to Him. I had to spend some time with Him. I desired to want to know Him. So that's the way we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's, and part of knowing that is verse 11 of 1 Timothy. Well, let me leave the last part of verse 10. And other things that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Now thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has enabled me. Amen. He enables us. Amen. Because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And although that includes all of us. Although, verse 13, although I was formerly, Paul says this, although I was formerly a blasphemer, I was a persecutor. He killed Christians. He killed God's children. Are you listening? Imprisoned them. He says, I was an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. Amen. He said, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 14, we're talking about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, and the grace, verse 14, of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now Paul wanted to say that because he felt that. He was chief of sinners. He killed Christians. He killed God's children. We may have too. Not literally. Not literally, but when we have hate and bitterness towards, we might as well kill them, right? You with me this morning? So Paul is saying, look at me. Look what I did. You haven't gone as far as I have. I was the chief of sinners. If God can save somebody like me, what do you think He can do for you? Amen? That's what He wants us to understand for that. And that's where we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We understand that we have that knowledge that if God can love somebody like Paul and somebody like me, He can love somebody like you and all of us. And we just, in order to experience that, we need to come and be recipients. Not just believe on God. The Bible says the devil believes on God and trembles. Not just believing on God that He exists. It's believing on God and that we can come to Him and receive His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. Amen? And He said, he that cometh, listen, He said, he or she or that one that cometh unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. So you don't need to have the devil fill you with doubts. You can't save somebody like you, because if he can save somebody like Paul, if he can save somebody like me, he can sure save somebody like you. And he says, if you'll come to Jesus and call upon Him, He will not turn your way. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The door is open. God opened the door. Nobody can shut it. Only God can. Right now, it's still open. Amen? Amen. It's been open ever since Jesus came and took our sins in His body on the cross and shed His blood for our sins so that we might be saved. And it's still open today for whosoever will may come. Amen. And drink of the water of life freely. Amen. All He asks us to do is just receive it. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Anyone here this morning need to come to the altar for any reason? Somebody may want to need to come and just say thank you, Lord, or thank you for being good to me, or somebody may want to come and say, Lord, I receive your gift and thank you for saving me, or you might want to come to join the church, or you might want to come to get baptized, or you just might want to come to pray for somebody. I don't know, but if you're here this morning, if you want to come to the altar, come on right now. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. You're praying for Christian people, for non-Christian brothers and sisters and loved ones and family members, and you want to come and pray for them and have somebody pray with you and agree with you. We'll agree with you anyway, but if you want to come here and let's lift them before the throne of God now, you can come and do that too. We'll agree together with you. Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your spirit. Lord, we just want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father. And then, Father, also thank you for hearing and answering our prayers as we are filled with your love for family members and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. And Lord, we don't want any of them to pass out into eternity without knowing you. We pray for them. We agree together with those who are praying for their family members and loved ones. Lord, we claim them by name. You know their names, Lord. You know where they are. You know what's going on. The very hairs of their heads are numbered. You know everything. So we just agree right now that you would save them, Father, because Jesus died for them, and that you would convict them and deal with them, Lord, and that especially those of us that are Christians, He said, Lord, if we had family members, they've been selected out, chosen, because they're a part of our family. They're a part of our family. We can claim them for you, Father. We claim them for you in the name of Jesus right now. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, everybody say, have a wonderful day. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Praise God.